Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
A big fat Billy for the 92 tip. And when I'm rolling in my ride, kinda hot. Females be on my tail because I'm so fly.
I said,
oh,
checking the scenery,
right
on the cloud nine. No one can get with me.
I can go 10 different places at one time. I can jump in my ear and walk through my mind. Psychedelic keep up for the Buddha head. Light it up, little nigga. Go, go, go,
get it. I get it. Yeah.
I bought water, sold it in bottles for $2. The Coca-Cola came and bought it for beans. That's some stuff. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire, I write the check before the baby comes. Who the hell cares? I'm stanky rich. I'ma die trying to spin this kid. Southside's up in this. Yeah, I smell like the boat. I used to sell soap.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 64 of these Sports Talk Shenanigans. And I'm here with the homeboy, Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Can't what is up to the people, fam?
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah. No. I know I can hear me. You ain't got to correct me, bro. So keep that socks hat on and do you over there. I got
all
you.
All I know is okay. It like the nigga was about to start speaking in hushed tones to the mic. Like we wasn't all sitting here just trying to talk sports. You know what I'm saying? Like this nigga trying to get sexy
what it is
on
now?
Us. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is.
My man tried to get sexy on his wheel. That's what happened.
I know. It became a quiet storm already three seconds ago. I was like,
3 seconds. This nigga like, he gonna pull the mic up real close. And I'm like, hey man, we can't hear you. Oh, I know. Yeah, man. Yeah, nigga.
Your camera gone, fool.
Whose camera's gone?
Whose camera?
You, Span.
My camera's gone?
All right, I don't see you.
Let me refresh then, goddammit. Let me.
Yeah, while he refreshes wheel, bro. I'm glad you're back, man. I'm glad you're back.
Will needs 81, however y'all want to say it. I'm not got
Michigan Wolverines in the building.
No, we ain't saying that. We ain't saying that at all.
Hey, man, I'm going to need you to like not be talking while I'm away. Nigga.
Stay away from that, those type of terms and that terminology.
Because the recording ain't happening when I'm gone, nigga. I'm just saying. I miss so much of that, you know? All I heard was Michigan Wolverines in the building. You know what I'm saying? That's all I heard. All
Will I was like, none of that.
Will was like, for show.
Ain't nobody saying none of that. See, this, was like, this blasphemy y'all saying right here. This oh my gosh!
All I heard was Michigan Wolverines in the building.
And Will was like in the building, baby. Wolverines holding it down.
No,
all day.
I never said that. Dog. You got me fucked up, man. Can't even stop me off like that. I need a new intro off the strength of that. It's Honey Kid. Spurring all day.
This man over here sweating like a motherfucker because he got to go back to those Spartan fan clubs and shit. And he go, hey, man, heard you on the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. What the fuck is up with that?
you know, they won't let me in. They won't even let me in.
They be like, this nigga here. You're like, so you get around some new motherfuckers and start acting funny, huh? All right, we see how you do, motherfucker. Is Maize and Blue? Is it Maize and Blue? You're like, nah, man, it ain't like that. It ain't like that.
Nah, man. Y'all trying to get me kicked out.
Yo, man. And to think, y'all, this almost didn't happen. Your man Span straight up forgot, dog. This is charging to my, you know, my head and not my heart, as the motherfuckers would say when they fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Do that.
Is there a heart in the house tonight?
Straight up.
I mean, that Alzheimer's a motherfucker, dog. Hey, you know
man,
how it is.
Hey, man, fuck you, okay? All right?
you young.
You know?
Hey, man. So check this out. Because the Super Bowl kind of threw off what we do, you know what I'm saying? We normally record on a Sunday, And we was like, no, we're going to push the show back because we figure everybody going to be watching the Super Bowl anyway. Ain't nobody going to be fucking with us because the game going to be on. So cool, we'll push it back today. And today was the day. Only I was like chilling. Nigga, I was sitting up, I just came back, went on a food run, was about to smash on this Five Guys and watch Jeopardy, nigga. And I'll be damned, the Cliff hit me up, was like, hey, man, we good? I'm like, yeah, nigga, of course we good. Not knowing what the fuck he think. he's like, we good for like tonight, nigga? Like, oh, shit.
I sent you a text at 4:45, no response. I'm like, yo, this dude ain't even real. Then I text him at like 6:15, like, yo, we still good for 7, right? Because Will text him like, yo, where the link at? I was like, hold on, let me his fan. He didn't respond for like 10 minutes. I'm like, man, let me call this dude right quick, man. And he like, what's good on, man? I'm like, you good? He was like, yeah, we good. What you talking about? We good. I was like, no, are we good? Good?
He had me thinking like something was like real wrong. Like, you good? Like, I'm like, nah, of course I'm good. Why the fuck wouldn't I be? You know what I'm saying?
Man, I rushed back to the room. I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna be late for this shit. Damn. Okay. And then I hit a Cliff like, yo, what's up? I thought I was fucking up, real talk.
It was all me, man. But other than that, man, what's been going on for y'all like this past week, man? What y'all been getting up to? Cliff, what's up with you?
You know what? This was the first weekend since the beginning of the year, not like it's been that long, since I didn't do nothing. I chilled with the kids, did some laundry, and then went to my mom's and watched 3/4 of the Super Bowl, and then went to the crib. I didn't do nothing, man. Ate good. Ate real good.
Oh, yeah? What they have popping over at the crib, man? Like you know, put me on, man, because I ain't been to one of them Super Bowl parties.
Oh, it's called the nothing party. It's called the nothing. The nothing like, party. We ain't doing nothing. Like, for real. Like, we barely had food. Like, we ate before we came party.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Because, like, a lot of the Super Bowl parties I tend to go to now, well, I ain't been in one in a couple years, though. But, like, a lot of the Super Bowl parties been on some like, yo, bring your own shit. Like, you could we'll have a game at our house, but we ain't feeding all you motherfuckers. Y'all gonna bring your own food. Y'all gonna bring your own drink. And whatever you ain't, you know, if you got some shit left over, take that shit with you. Keep the cleanup low. But that's pretty much how I've been like noticing people doing it lately. Cause they ain't really like, man, cause niggas will like come over to your crib, eat up all your shit, and if you got beers, niggas will take carry out beers like they bought them motherfuckers. Like, hold on, player. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I think people just get sick of putting themselves out and have like all, this big ass spread and fucking not and having the niggas to come eat up all their shit though. You know, it's kind of
it ain't even that, man. Like, I think the cleanup aspect is what like kind of makes a lot of people like, man, fuck this shit, man. Because at the end of the day, after this party's over with, I'm left with having to pick up after these motherfuckers. And then, and people are just like, I ain't doing it. It looked like Will froze up.
He froze up on a good ass point too, because I agree with that shit right there, man. I swear to God, man, as many parties as I've thrown, yo, man, people come over and tell you how. I agree with both y'all, because I done been through all that. And honestly, now, when we have parties, yo, I clean while we're having a party. So it won't be that much of a torture toward the end of the night. The only problem is I ain't gonna have that much fun because I'm always picking up. You know what I'm talking about? All the time.
See,
I
used to make the mistake of going to parties, right? So say if I'm going to somebody's house, I never want to go to anybody's house for a party empty-handed. So I would always bring something. Like, even if I'd bring like a case of beer or some shit like that, or like some sort of drink or whatever, I'm not coming to a party and not contributing to the party. That's always just kind of been my thing. And it would always be weird to me though, like to see the same motherfuckers who came to the party with nothing, leave that motherfucker with the beers I bought. You know what I'm saying?
They spam, man, you buy that good beer, dog. I appreciate you, man. Hold on.
I made that mistake 1 year. I stopped doing it. Like, I was bringing Stella, and niggas was taking the Stella out. I'm like, nah. Because the leftovers, I really did kind of plan on taking them motherfuckers back. But what I started doing was, I buy myself a six-pack of the shit that I'm going to drink. And then I'd buy a case of the shit that y'all gonna drink. So I buy y'all them Miller Genuine drafts. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can have those and I'll be over here with this highfalutin shit that I got. You know what I'm saying? Like the shit that they, like the shit that my cousin asked. I never forget this, man. I was at my grandma's birthday party, and a cousin of mine was talking about some man. Why you coming over here with all these foo-foo ass beers, man? Where the Budweiser at? Where the Schlitz at? I'm saying that shit is right there at the store. You can go buy you some.
Did you just say Schlitz?
She said Schlitz, nigga.
Schlitz. I didn't know black people even drank Schlitz.
Man, you remember Schlitz malt liquor, man?
Yes, I do.
The Blue Bull, you know what I'm saying?
Like, hey, I didn't even know Schlitz was still being produced.
I'm just honestly saying, though, man, like, the shit's at the store. If you want some of that shit, go get it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to drink what I like to drink. Now, if you ain't going to rock with what I got, then fine. That's cool with me. Go buy the shit that you like, because I sure as hell came with the shit that I like. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, we came a long way, bro. Because in college, we was drinking whatever we could afford.
Well, hold on. there's some truth to that, and then there's some shit where I was just like, nah, I ain't doing it. So I'll never forget we was at a set at school, and y'all niggas bought a case of that damn Natty Ice. Yeah. And I'm like, pass me one of those. Because at the time, I was drinking Heineken, right?
You was drinking Heineken.
Right. But I was buying Heineken for me. You know what I'm saying? But like, y'all, right. Somebody had bought a case of Natty Ice. And I'm like, pass me one of those. Had never had it before. So I'm thinking, I took a swig off that shit. And I looked at the fucking can like,
God damn.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm looking at this shit like, the fuck is this? And I was straight getting ready to pull that shit out, right? Your ass come rolling up, man. No, man. Shit.
Waste not, want not. What you talking about?
You can't be
about,
pulling man. This shit out, man. I'm like, hey, man, this is some bullshit right here.
Hey, man.
I knew then, like, and I wasn't even a real beer drinker then. That's how I knew it was some bullshit.
You know, though, I've never been a real beer drinker. I just can, like, go someplace and have a couple. But I'm like you now. So now I'm really into the craft, to the upper echelon of the good flavored, good, well-made, you know, brews. So I don't have a lot of beer. What I do have a lot of is I have a ton of Bourbon County. Mm-hmm. And I like my Blue Moons. I like my Stellas. You put me on a whole bunch of other things. But honestly, I don't even drink it that much. Like right now, I'm just drinking, you know, a regular cocktail, but because I ain't got no beer and I'm not about to crack a Bourbon County. I only drink two Bourbon Counties a month.
I kind of wanted to drink some Crown tonight, but then like I forgot, you know what I'm saying? So I got this fucking drinking this milkshake and shit. So I'm just pretty much assed out when it comes to what I really want to drink tonight. But
okay, Will just text me. He's actually out of town right now, and at the hotel he said the Wi-Fi is straight trash. So if he comes back on, great. But I know we got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, and go from there, which sucks. I know what happens, but
yeah, it happens. You know, live podcasting. You know, and then the technology doesn't always work out the way in which we want it to. But you know, the show must go on. And
show
so,
must go on.
Speaking of which, speaking of show, the Super Bowl was yesterday. The reason why we're doing this show tonight is because the Super Bowl was last night. There you go.
I'm back like a big girl at a buffet. I'm back. I'm out here.
Yeah, man. So
we was on the Super Bowl, man. We about to start the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl was last night. Great game, man. Great game. Real talk. Like, it was one of the better Super Bowls I've seen in a long time.
Facts.
Yeah.
How did y'all feel about the game, though? I mean, I'm saying that, but I know y'all saying facts. But like, how was y'all feeling about last night's game?
Well, shit. It started off slow as fuck, and I was like, yo, it's a defensive game happening. And then it's like what I thought was going to happen. Mahomes, San Francisco kind of went up, and then Mahomes kind of came back. Because, you know, they did that three times in the postseason. They did that comeback from a deficit three times.
Yep.
And I'm in the bar talking big shit to a whole bunch of people I don't even fucking know.
and you're very good for that. Look, just so everybody knows, Will is very good for talking shit to people I don't know. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm out in the Quad Cities at a little spot called Roosters with folks I don't know. Everybody's going 40. It was like half of them was going for the 49ers, and for no reason though. It's like, oh, why? You been following them all year? Nah.
But isn't that every Super Bowl, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that every Super Bowl? I think every Super Bowl, like, you got a couple teams that, of course, everybody hasn't been following these teams. You'll have, like, the team, like, the Patriots. Like, the Patriots have been good for so long that you got a lot of people who will say, like, I'm pulling for the Patriots because they used to the Patriots winning. But then, for the most part, you got a lot of times where you go to a Super Bowl, nobody has a real rooting interest, so they just got to figure out a way to make them have some sort of interest in the game. So, like, oh, well, fuck it then. I'm pulling for the gold team. They don't even know who the gold team is, you know?
Yeah. So he's like, you know who on that? You know any of them cats on the team?
Nah. Man, you know, I just like their uniform shit. You know, the jerseys is kind of nice. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. I want one of those. You know? So that's like every Super Bowl, bro. It's like every Super Bowl.
Know?
Well, if it ain't your team, you ain't got nobody to root for.
True.
At the end of the day, you know. But go ahead, Will.
I feel that. Somebody was like, yo, I got 49ers at the house. Cool. I'm going with the 49ers.
That's what Span got. You can believe that.
I mean, he is in the D right now.
Well, y'all needed y'all definitely needed, you know, pair, you know.
You know, he got to be ready.
It's tough.
You stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Shit. So, well, what y'all think?
I'll say, I'll branch off of what you said. I definitely agree. The first quarter, typically because the teams never played one another before. And if they did, it would probably once, but they don't know each other's style of play. They're trying to fill each other out as far as their defensive strategy, offensive strategy, etc. And because both of the teams, A, had very good defenses throughout the year and good offenses, you know, they're playing cat and mouse. They were playing cat and mouse for a long time. Even though both of them were making some simple mistakes, I will still say that San Fran, to me, played the better defense in the first half. I definitely feel like they had a better defense, and what good coaching does, and I know between the two of y'all, I probably had this conversation, I'm all about coaching. And when it comes down to, you can have great players, great chemistry, but if you don't have somebody to lead you, to direct you, you have nothing. And both of them had good coaches. And at the end, KC had the better strategy to figure out what San Francisco was doing on the front line, because their secondary to me was suspect. It's been suspect all year. Sherman is not a corner. He should be a free safety or a strong safety. He is not man-on-man coverage. That's why he was getting stroked through the whole damn game. So when the second half came, KC got the edge because they figured them out. And they were able to maximize on plenty of plays. Both of the quarterbacks had two interceptions. Let's keep it real. But in what time of the game did those interceptions happen, and what happened afterwards? Who maximized on those turnovers?
But that Mahomes interception wasn't really 100% Mahomes' fault. That was a bobble ball.
That's true. But I mean, the thing is, intro mile, it happened, I totally agree with you. You know, Garoppolo, I have my own feelings about him. He got to where he is because he got to where he is, but he made some stupid decisions. And I'm looking at Span face right now. You can't wait to open your mouth. So
I'm looking at you, cook, man. Come on.
Okay. But no, KC, they definitely got the air. And actually, you know, it's so funny. I called Span yesterday, y'all, for the record, when San Francisco got up. For the record, I have no allegiance to either one of these teams. I just picked San Fran because Span picked KC. But at the end of the day, when San Francisco got up, I called Span. I had my son answer the phone, and Span says, hello. Here go Lil Cliff. Go 49ers! Go 49ers! And this fool gonna tell, he gonna tell me who was that.
He thought it was me. I didn't know if it was you. Oh, I didn't know it was your kid, man. Real talk. I thought it was you, like, playing on the phone and shit. And I was like, yo, man, it sounded like you got your nuts in a pair of vice grips or something. Because all the bases.
Oh, you told his kid that?
No, I told him that. Like, his kid wasn't on the phone. His kid wasn't on the phone. I wouldn't do that. That's messed up.
You gonna say it to the baby?
I didn't say that to my
nephew. Yeah.
Yo, Cliff got up this morning and said, Dad, are my nuts in the vice?
You lying sack of shit.
He was like, I thought Uncle Span was a nice guy. I said, I thought he was too.
You lying sack of shit.
But no, man.
Span don't give a fuck about the kids, man. Damn.
Hey. That's why he got them nines. He got them nines, them 40s over there.
Weird thing though, right? Because why you say Span don't give a fuck about them kids? Somebody was talking about my boy Justin, who he does Balls Deep Sports with my boy Rod over there at the Black Guy Who Tips Podcast Network. And he hit me up on Twitter. It's like, yo, he saw the halftime show. And he said, man, I saw the halftime show. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm hearing Span like saying, well, what about the kids? Because of how inappropriate everybody thought the halftime show was. And I was just like, man, fuck them kids.
Oh, my God.
Because I thought the damn halftime show was pretty dope, man. Like 50-year-old J-Lo up there pole dancing and shit. I thought it was pretty dope.
Yeah, on the pole.
Only problem is I didn't know what they were saying, you know, unless y'all know Spanish.
I mean, but I didn't have to know what they were saying to understand what the hell was happening on the stage, bro. Like, I was like, okay, I'm with the shits. It looks good up there.
Well, I can't show my son soft porn at 8, okay?
It wasn't
I just can't
soft
do that
porn,
yet.
Man. Come on,
man. It wasn't soft porn?
It was nowhere close to soft porn.
I mean, he gonna learn what a pole dancer is eventually.
Hey, nowhere close.
No,
but no, I was just gonna say that when I called Span, he ended the conversation like, "Bro, you do know that KC came back in all three playoff games," and I was just like this. I said, "I know." I just want to say this now before I do lose, just in case.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I like what you just did there, though, bro. Like Clip tried to get out in front of this shit right now, right?
What do you mean? Listen, I'm not getting out in front. It's just being honest. He knew what I listen, y'all. Span
he got
exactly
a value right now.
He knew exactly what I was doing.
He straight up trying to like be rabbit a nigga right now. Gonna get out in front
of him. He's trying to aim out you right now.
He's trying to get out in front of it right now, so I can't use it later. You know?
For all the beer and shaking people who watching this right now, the one who gonna download it later, don't believe that, man.
Oh my God, this man called me. So I'm watching the game yesterday, right? Me and my wife, we watching the game, and yeah, the Super Bowl, like first quarter, I always just kind of like. Almost just kind of like you almost throw the first quarter away and damn near every Super Bowl because one, they always working out their nerves and shit. You got a whole bunch of guys never been on the stage that big. You got a lot of guys who are just like, yo, this is the fucking Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So you saw Mahomes even come out. He had some errant throws earlier on in the game. And that works out well for like defensive oriented teams because the defense, yeah, they're going to come out. They're going to be aggressive because they pretty much can count on the fact that, yo, these offenses are still trying to figure out what they can do, this, that, and the other. So, like, first quarter is always just kind of, like, throwaway. All right, that was it. Because they never really start off fast. I haven't really seen Super Bowl start off fast. But once they kind of, you know, all right, everybody, they got hit in the mouth at least one time. The nerves settled down. Then they kind of settle into their strategies of the game or whatnot. And off rip, yeah, San Francisco's defense pretty much had Kansas City in check. For the most part. And then, like, San Francisco, when they first went down and scored their first touchdown, I'm like, man, they was rolling Kansas City's defense. Like, they just straight rolled straight down the field. I'm like, oh, damn. Like, they ain't fucking around with them. And
Juszczyk was balling.
Yeah, he was balling. And so, like, I'm watching the game or whatever, and, like, I when they went up 20 to 10, like, San Fran went up 20 to 10, I was like, man, it's kind of fucked up, right? It's kind of fucked up. But here's the thing, though. Only reason I said that, though, is because I remember that me and Cliff, the week before last, we did our Super Bowl picks.
Right.
And I had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. 2 weeks ago, I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl 35-24. So I'm like, man, the fucking Chiefs is down 10, and we going halfway into the fourth quarter. They only got 10 points. I don't know if they're going to really hit that 35 I set them up for, right? Now, it wasn't that I didn't have faith that they could win the game. I still felt like they had the opportunity to win the game. And then when Cliff called me, like, with the 2010 lead, I'm like, hey, you do realize that they've spotted teams more points than this and came back and won them bitches. And so when they came back and they did that, they got that first touchdown drive, I'm like, okay, San Francisco got to come down here and do something or it's a wrap. They got to come down and do something or it's a wrap. And then they just fizzled out. I knew Kansas City had it. And so, you know, like my thing was covering the spread. And it was weird though, right? Because I called it 35-24, right? So I had this. I had the Chiefs winning by 11. They won that bitch by straight up 11 points. They won that bitch 31-20. I'm like, I'll be goddamn. I was off by 4 points. Cliff picked the 49ers to win 28-21. in that game. And I remember him was talking about the fact that, like, the San Francisco had a dominant defense and everything else, and questioning whether or not the Chiefs could score 30 points. They did that shit. They did that shit. And it was just kind of weird. Like, it was wild watching it happen and watching Patrick Mahomes do that shit again. Like, just call him the comeback kid from here on out, because this entire playoffs, every game in these playoffs, they spotted teams' points and came back and won that bitch. And it was just kind of like impressive to watch them do that shit yet again in the biggest game of their careers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I saw another stat. The only other quarterback who has been that young is Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger was 23 and Mahone is 24. So, I mean, can you imagine being that young in your career on that stage?
You know, he's the youngest QB ever to win MVP in the Super Bowl.
Imagine being that young and having all of the accomplishments that he has already. He's already a Super Bowl champion. He's already been NFL MVP. Was he Rookie of the Year too?
Yeah, he was Rookie of the Year.
He was Rookie of the Year.
Like, Patrick Mahomes is like low key already putting down one of the greatest fucking careers in NFL history. Now, he ain't even been in the league 5 years yet.
Here's his accolades right now. Of course, Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, 2-time Pro Bowl, 1st-time All Pro. MVP in 2018, Offensive Player of the Year 2018, NFL Passing Touchdowns Leader 2018, Burt Bell Award 2018, Sammy Bowl Award 2016, and then in college he was second team All Big 12. He was passing leader in FBS, and then Athlete of the Year in 2013. So he's so young.
Yeah,
he's so damn young. I mean, the thing is, you know. When I think about people this young and being this athletic, just imagine how much better he's going to be like 10 years from now. You know, you got quarterbacks like Brady, like Drew Brees. They've been playing in the league over a decade. And the stuff that they're doing now, they didn't even do in the first 5 years of their career. And he's done it so early on. He has so much more room ahead of him.
It's amazing. Who I feel for the most in times like this, though, right now? Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford. I feel for that dude.
Why?
Because I feel like Matt Stafford is a much better quarterback than he gets credit for, but he plays for a shit team. And if Matt Stafford was in another organization, I think that Matt Stafford would have legitimately had shots at playing for a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
But don't you think that's like a lot of QBs, though?
Man, No, I don't think so. I think Matt Stafford is a very talented motherfucking quarterback. I think Matt Stafford has been unfortunate to be here with Detroit, here with the ineptitude of the Lions, you know, culture and everything else. And yeah, Canuck Dukes is saying he signed an extension with the Lions. He made his own bet. I get all of that. He was the highest paid quarterback when they did that, the whole shit. And sometimes, you know, like everybody, it's weird how that works too, right? Because like a lot of fans will shit on players when they go get the money someplace else. He decided to stay. He got his money. He decided to stay. And it's like, now he made his own bed. Like, it's kind of weird how it's like that double-edged sword there. But, like, I kind of feel like if Matt Stafford, who's always been known as a talented quarterback, you've already seen motherfuckers on ESPN talking about, so they should try to get Matt Stafford in New England. I don't know about all that. But I'm just saying, I feel like Matt Stafford, for the numbers that he's put up for mediocre fucking football teams, if Matt Stafford had the amount of talent that a Patrick Mahomes had around him, that even motherfucking Garoppolo has around him, Matt Stafford would you know, could be possibly somebody in a position to win a Super Bowl. He just won't ever get that opportunity here. I don't know why, but it just made me think of him.
To piggyback you, Span, if he just had Andy Reid, period. Because I can't say the Lions don't have talent. They just do shitty shit and bad coaching in the middle of the game.
Yeah,
it's like, oh.
That's another thing we're going to talk about later. Once we get through talking about the Super Bowl, we're going to talk about the Lions too later. But go ahead. Because you was going to say something.
I mean, let's not forget about Damian Williams and how he came through in the Super Bowl. Balling.
Yeah, that last touchdown.
Balling.
That last touchdown that sealed the deal, because I'm like, oh, ball game right there.
Like, if y'all notice, every year, like, no, Damian Williams is – I'm starting, like – since last year, this has been my dude, because he came from Miami. They said he wasn't shit, and he got on KC and started balling. toward the end of the year last year. Then it's like he was injured at the beginning of this year. And then what did he do again at the end of, when they needed him? He stepped the fuck up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shout out to Damian Williams.
Shout out to LeSean McCoy who piggybacked himself into a ring because he sure as hell didn't do a goddamn thing. In the
for real?
LeSean McCoy. Yeah, he on KC, man. He was on my fantasy team. Didn't do damn near nothing. I was mad at the motherfucker. Like, man, this nigga here, bro.
He's on KC?
LeSean McCoy is on KC.
I was scared. Wow. I was scared during the year on fantasy that LeSean McCoy is going to take all the touches away from Damian Williams. That's why I dropped Damian. Like, yep.
Wow. Well, you know what? I ain't talking about fantasy football with y'all. So we got to talk about something else.
What you got, okay? Man? What you got?
Nah, y'all good with the Super Bowl? Because I'm a segue. I got a segue for the Super Bowl. What's wrong with fantasy, Chris? I suck. Okay, I suck. That's all. I've never done it before. And then like we had our first fantasy league this year when the NFL season kicked off, and I won my first game. I was talking heavy shit. I'm like, yeah, man, y'all can't see me. You know what I'm saying? And then like the third week, you know, I'm getting beat by like 100 points. Speaking I'm like, why am I getting beat? And Spam's like, when the last time you checked the app? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Speaking of the fantasy shit, though, our fantasy champion has yet to email us with his contact information. So you need to do that so you can get your damn championship belt or ring or whatever the fuck it was
whatever.
You wanted.
Yeah.
You need to go ahead and send in that email, bro.
Yeah. So back to football. Yes. What'd you say, Will?
I got no questions. Go ahead, man. Go back to football. We ain't talking about fantasy no more. I was about to ask you a question, but I get it.
So, talking about the NFL. Yesterday, while watching the Super Bowl on ESPN, saw an article. That's nice, and it's a good read. It said NFL honors who took home the league's biggest awards this year. In this order, of course, you know, they always start with the MVP. We all know Lamar Jackson held it down. I'm so happy that man got the MVP. I don't know what to do with myself. Sixth-round draft pick. Didn't know if he was going to be on the team. Nobody believed him. Nobody knew who he was. I knew who he was because he was killing in college. That's for sure. But it goes on to say I'm going to just read a small snippet from underneath Lamar's name. It said, Jackson proved to be the NFL's most valuable, surprising, and thrilling player in 2019, coming off a rookie season, facing skepticism on whether or not he can develop into an NFL-level passer. Jackson produced one of the best seasons ever by an NFL quarterback and reshaped the game's most important position. He became the first player in league history to total more than 3,000 passing and 1,000 total yards in the same season, beating defenses with a strong arm in the red zone and jaw-dropping runs in the open field. Listen, I think this whole season we've been talking about Lamar Jackson probably all season. I mean, to some degree. Offensive Player of the Year was Michael Thomas with the New Orleans Saints. Jerry Rice and Michael Thomas, that's the entire list of wide receivers to win the Associated Press Offensive Player of the Year now that can't guard Mike ended a 25-year drought. So basically the last wide receiver to get the Offensive Player of the Year was Jerry Rice. We know how long it's been since Jerry Rice has been in the league. Shout out to Michael Thomas. That's a huge award. I think he's awesome. He got Drew Brees, and the dude can run some routes, man. I'll use him all the time on Madden. Defensive Player of the Year was Stephen Gilmore on the Patriots. Shout out, because he be killing. He's a corner. It says Gilmore finished tied for the first in NFL with 6 interceptions, 2 of which he returned for touchdowns. One thing about Gilmore, I know you guys aren't a Patriots fan like I am, but they barely threw to his side. Barely, okay, if you guys ever watched this, the Patriots. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Kyler Murray. I don't know if y'all like Kyler, but in college, he used to be a monster.
I had him on my fantasy team.
Monster. Real quick, it just says Murray was the second rookie in NFL history to throw more than 3,500 yards and run for more than 500 yards in the season. His numbers were 3,722 yards, 20 touchdown pass, 8 games with multiple touchdown throws, and a completion percentage of 63.4%. Shout out to Kyler Murray. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Bosa from the 49ers. Dude is a monster. Fuck him. He's a monster.
Last night he got off last night.
Span, you can't say that, man. Night. He got off, dog.
Fuck him.
He tried his best to stop KC. He couldn't, but he tried his best.
So real quick, here's what they said. The 49ers had an instant game changer in Bosa when they used the number two overall pick on him last April. He finished the regular season with 47 tackles, 9 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and an interception.
And finished the season crying like a bitch. Fuck him.
Okay. Oh, wait. Let me ask the question real quick.
Oh, yeah, I got
Span, what's your beef with Bosa, man?
Right. There's
two beefs that I have with Bosa, and only one of them have to do with football.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the other one, he didn't friend request you back or something?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't be sending no motherfucker from Ohio State any goddamn friend request. And second of all, he's a goddamn known Trump supporter, and I don't fuck with them types. Fuck them.
Facts. All right, come back player
crying here. Like a bitch. Fuck it.
Okay. Back to sports. We all know that the Tennessee Titans had an awesome year. They put up great numbers, shutting people down, even though KC kicked their ass in the playoffs. Comeback player of the year, Ryan Tannehill, came from out the blue with the Tennessee Titans. It goes to say after Tannehill missed 5 games in 2018 with the Miami Dolphins because of a shoulder injury, Miami decided to go in a different direction and trade Tannehill to the Titans. It says, let's see, let me go down here. Yeah, they went 7-3. Where am I at? His passer rating was 117. That is fucking good.
So to piggyback with something the Span said earlier, I think Tannehill is in the same situation that our boy Stafford's in. Like, you put him on another team that has a decent coach and a good scheme, then he's gonna ball. And that's the same thing what happened to Tannehill in Miami. He didn't really have nothing there.
You know, it's interesting. While we're talking about this nigga here, while we're talking about just piggybacking even just on like the Stafford shit, like just the Lions, period. I know we ain't talking about them right now, but just like the Lions, period. Do you guys listen to Behind the Mask, the Behind the Mask podcast?
You know what? Real quick.
No.
One more accolade, and let's hit that real quick, Span. Just real quick. Coach of the year, shout out to John Harbaugh. The Ravens, they did his damn thing. Harbaugh went from being on the hot seat in the middle of the 2018 season to being saluted as the league's top coach. He led the Ravens to a franchise record 14 wins and their first number one seed with an out-of-the-box offensive highlighting quarterback Lamar Jackson and a defense that threw the core Pro Bowl leaders Terrell Suggs, Eric Weddle, and C.J. Mosley. Shout out to Harbaugh. I thought he was going to get fired 2018. That's just me. And they were the number one team in the league all the way up until the playoffs between them and the Chiefs. So, unfortunately, Baltimore lost to the Titans. And that's all she wrote. Yeah. But go ahead. Yeah.
Sam. So, reason why, like, I was kind of even alluding to, like, Matt Stafford earlier. I was listening to this podcast earlier in the week with it was Behind the Mask podcast with Taquio Spikes. And I forget the other dude's name that's on it, but it's they're both ex-NFL players. And they had Calvin Johnson on. And they were asking Calvin, you know, of course they were talking about how good Calvin Johnson was, Megatron and everything else, whether or not he'd be a Hall of Famer and whatnot. Was he the best wide receiver at the time he played and everything? But they asked him about when he retired. And when he retired like after his 9th season, I believe it was. And he told them, he was like, I was done after my 8th season. He said his dad told him to see, like, you know, he was like, you think you could do it one more time? He said, I hesitated. He was like, well, if you hesitate and you ain't really sure, go ahead and see if you could do it one more time. Because he was basically saying, like, his body was, like, banged up. You know what I'm saying? He really couldn't see him going out there giving that effort and, you know, not really seeing many results from it because of how bad, like, you know, the Lions had been perpetually since he'd been here. And so, you know, of course, there were the comparisons made to him and Barry Sanders, because him and Barry Sanders both left when people thought they were, like, within the prime of their careers and whatnot. And one of the things that they were talking about on the show was, like, Taquio Spikes was like, even when I was in Cincinnati, we used to look forward to playing the Lions. He like, and we was the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, we really, like, we used to look forward to playing Detroit. And he said that Calvin Johnson said that it wasn't until after he retired that he realized how bad a situation it was in Detroit. because he got a chance to see how other teams treated their players.
I saw that.
Yeah, he was like, I got a chance to see how other teams treated their players. He's like, we didn't have none of this shit in Detroit. And so the other part that kind of made me think about this, too, was Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman went out. They were asking, you know, of course, it was Super Bowl weekend. They were asking, you know, he had an opportunity to come to Detroit. He was a free agent. He had an opportunity to come to Detroit. Detroit offered him a shit ton of money to come here. And he said the reason why he didn't come here was because of the culture here in Detroit. And, you know, when you're used to having or you used to being in a winning position. Yeah. You come here and you see what's going on here. You're like, nah, I don't want no parts of that. Even Tequila Spikes. Tequila Spikes said that he said he was a free agent one year. He said he was a free agent the year before the Lions went 0-16. He said he came here for a meeting. And he met with, what's my man named? Rod Marinelli. Rod Marinelli was the coach of the Lions then. He said he came here for a meeting, and Rod Marinelli told him that he'd have to compete for a starting job for the Detroit Lions. And he was like, yo, man, I've been an all-pro. I'm starting where I'm at. Like, yeah, I respect you, Rod, but I'm going to go ahead and take my talents to San Francisco. I'm not coming here. And so, like, when you hear, like, a guy like Stafford, you know, when we go back to Canuck Duke, when he was saying Stafford signed the extension and everything else, Stafford doesn't know anything else but this right now when it comes to his NFL career. And Calvin Johnson didn't know anything else until after he retired. So my thing was, when I say that I felt bad for Matthew Stafford, because how long has Pat Mahomes been in the NFL? You know what I'm saying? 3 years. And like, even Pat Mahomes will say some of the things that he does, he got some of those off-kilter throws that he does. He studied those from Matthew Stafford, because Matthew Stafford is known for throwing some of those sidearm pitches or sidearm throws and shit too. He like, a lot of that I kind of learned and studied from Matthew Stafford. So like, that's why I was like, man, I kind of feel sorry for Stafford for even being here. And not only that, as a Lions fan, I don't feel bad. I almost like don't blame players for not wanting to come here because of the ineptitude and the way in which the Lions kind of run the organization here, so much so that like it's known within the NFL to like, yeah, man, you really don't, this, that ain't really a place you want to go.
I got a question. If this, you know, environment that you're talking about, this culture that you're talking about with the Lions is so apparent, why the hell is Matthew Stafford still there if he's so good? He can leave. He can leave.
Well, right now, I think with Stafford, one, he probably could.
He has 1 year before he has. I'm looking at it right now. He has one more year till he can. He's a free agent. So, do you think he's gonna leave?
He probably will.
Okay.
He probably will. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if he did. I mean, because think about it. He's been here his entire career. I want to say he's been in the NFL, what, 9-10 seasons now?
He's been in here since 2009.
Yeah, so he's been in the NFL 10 seasons.
That's 11 years.
Like, yo, if I can't make it here. I've tried for 11 seasons. We ain't did it. It's time for me to move on and see if I can get it someplace else. And I wouldn't even be upset.
So you don't think the culture is changing with Matt Patricia in there?
No. I think what's happened here with like Matt Patricia and Pat Quinn, the Detroit Lions front office or like the owners felt like they could go out and go get a couple guys from New England and they was just going to bring New England here. Forgetting the fact that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady was still in New England and that's what kind of made New England go. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, think about it. Like how many people off of the Bill Belichick coaching tree have gone on to have success coaching other teams? Not very many. Not very many. So if you think that you're just going to poach a couple guys out of that organization and then they're going to be able to kind of infuse that culture here and you don't have the credentials to, so to speak, like, because Bill Belichick could probably come here and do it. Matt Patricia, probably not, because he's not Bill Belichick. So
I feel like they competed in every game this year. Well, at the beginning of the season, they competed in every game. And then when they kept taking them L's, Cass gave up. Like, yo, we just the same team.
I don't know. I feel like the Lions have regressed since they took it on Matt Patricia. They regressed. Like,
you know what I think? I think they're like the Bears. They're like the Bears. They need a new owner.
They do.
A new back office. They need it because you're talking about the culture. It's like here in Chicago, you know, there is such a deep you know, this stuff that runs through everybody's veins as far as, you know, Bear Down and all that stuff, the, you know, Midway Monsters, Monster of the Midway, all that stuff. I still say that the reason why we get held back is because the people upstairs, period. I don't care how much, you know, you can have the best quarterback.
I wonder how Pace felt when Watson and Mahomes are playing each other in the playoffs. I want to know how he really felt on those two quarterbacks he passed up.
You see what Mahomes said? Did you see what Mahomes thanks the Chicago Bears to pick Trubisky and not him?
Yeah. I mean, that was like the Pace Bowl. The two players I skipped over to get Trubisky are now balling in the playoffs, Super Bowl contenders.
Well, think about Bill Polian. I don't know if he's still associated with the Indiana Colts or not, but he was one of those folks when Lamar Jackson was, you know, coming up in the draft, was telling Lamar Jackson he needs to change positions, that he couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. And now you're looking at Lamar Jackson as the NFL MVP unanimously. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that goes to show, like, did y'all see the 30 for 30 Mike Vick special?
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Don't tell me. Duh. I want to watch it.
It's this one point that they all black quarterbacks coming out of universities in the old days, they always try to make them change their position. Mm-hmm. Like Tony Dungy was talking about that because he was a quarterback and he had to go to defense.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I think he might have been, that cat is still caught in that old mentality of a black guy's not smart enough to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about that, though, is like at a time like this where we've seen black quarterbacks have success in the NFL, for him to still be on that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
you need to still be on that when, like, we haven't seen Mike Vick, well, we haven't seen Donovan McNabb, well, we haven't seen Dante Culpepper in his league have success, you know what I'm saying? Or even, like, say, for instance, this year, like, we had Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was out there fucking balling for Houston this year. Matter of fact, so much so, I was reluctant to take his ass out the starting lineup of my fantasy team. Kyler Murray didn't get off the bench on my team. I had a nigga on the team the whole year, and I was reluctant to take him out because I had Deshaun Watson.
Let me ask y'all something. I mean, this may have an easy, you know, something to do. Did you guys see the dude on the those British awards talking about how blacks in the movie industry don't get any respect and don't get any, you know, all that stuff? I think it's the same thing in the NFL, and actually damn near in all sports, depending on who the player is, because unless you're the LeBron James, unless you are, you know, the Kobe Bryants and the Shaquille O'Neals, it's such a few of them, but it's so many of them that honestly have the same level of athleticism and talent. And you guys talk about Matthew Stafford. I just say he's on the wrong team. I used to say all the time that Michael Vick should not have been on the Atlanta Falcons. I feel like everybody talks about program. Like, you know, Span, you told me one time that, you know, Brady can't go do this anywhere else. So what?
I didn't say
that. And guess what? You did tell me that one time.
I said that I think a lot of the success that Brady has is a product of the fact that he's within that system. I didn't say that he couldn't do it anywhere else, though.
Well, okay. Well, that in itself, too. Matthew Stafford is in the wrong program. He has so much talent. I definitely agree. I think Matthew Stafford puts up crazy numbers, and then you look at their record, you're going to be like, what happened? They got the red zone and choked. But at the end of the day, it really is so many athletes who have that same level of talent and skill and vision, and they are on the wrong team. And if you define wrong team, you're going to define the wrong team at the wrong point, because look at the Baltimore Ravens. They sucked in 2018. They come out the gate this year and was kicking ass and taking names.
That's the same thing with San Francisco.
But that's because the Baltimore Ravens, they fucking changed their whole playbook based on Lamar Jackson and his abilities. And that's what teams need to understand. You play to your talents. You play to what you got on your team. Don't try to run a busted ass system and want to make somebody something else.
That comes from the top, though, Will. That comes from the top.
Yeah, because like I was saying, like, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the teams being in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, they won more games this season than they did the last three seasons combined. Like, they won a grand total of 12 games the last three seasons prior to this. They won 13 games this year. And as a Lions fan, you look at that and be like, man, what in the entire fuck? How are these teams flipping their goddamn succeed, you know, their success so frequently all across the NFL, and the Lions are just consistently fucking fucking bad, bro? You'd be like,
hey, you know what? You know what I think about, Span? I think about, and I know you hate me when I say this, it's a business. And if your business model ain't working, which is your playbook, right? Will, you just said you have to structure your playbook around your players and their talents. And if you don't structure your business model around the talent or whatever it is that business is, you are going to fail. And look, and I swear to God, as much as I am a Bears fan, they do the same shit every year. They do that. You could almost call the play out before they do it. And it just burns my soul. And it's like, yo, if you want to change something, you got to do something you never did before. I'm an avid fan of that.
Right.
Avid fan. And you can apply that idea to anything. And in sports, it super applies. And you know what it says? It says that whoever's in the back office of the Detroit Lions, they're not scratching their whiteboard that's behind them. And they just feel like what they think and know works.
No,
and it doesn't.
No, you got it, man.
Here's what I think is going on in Detroit. The Detroit Lions are owned by a mega conglomerate auto company, the Ford family. They don't make their money off of the Detroit Lions. They make money off of the Detroit Lions, but they don't make their money off of the Detroit Lions. So I think when you have an ownership group that isn't necessarily invested in the success of the team, then it's incumbent upon the fans to show that we're not going to reward having mediocrity as a football team. So, like, as bad as the Lions is,
stop buying tickets.
Exactly. As bad as the Lions is, Ford Field is always sold the fuck out. There's still always somebody out there tailgating and everything else. And until the fans decided, like, yo, man, we ain't even putting up. Like, they went 0-16 and motherfuckers were still going to those games, bro. Like, right. until fans decide that, like, yo, I'm not doing this, man. We can't keep giving these motherfuckers money. We can't keep going out here buying these jerseys and buying all this expensive ass beers and these popcorn and shit just to see them lose again. Nah, fuck that. It'll force the business to reevaluate the product that they're putting out there on the field and get more serious about the personnel that they put in place to make the decisions that on what's going to happen on the field. Because bottom line, the Lions are owned by a group who get the, like, it's like a, you know, like a side, you know, little side.
It's a hobby.
I think y'all missing it. That is their business model. Long as they keep people in those seats, they don't give a fuck about how they play. That's the same thing with the Bears. They got such a loyal fan base that, hey, we don't have to be great.
That's true.
But as long as we get people in the stadium, that's we getting paid.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, and this is why I don't necessarily think this applies to the Lions the way that it would the Bears. The Bears have at least had some levels of success in going to at least a fucking Super Bowl. The Lions have never fucking been there, ever.
They've never been to a Super Bowl.
They've never been to a Super Bowl. The last time...
Nope. We won in 1950.
The last time the Lions won an NFL championship was 1957. They've never been to a Super Bowl. So when we start talking about, like these other teams having, you know, some level of success, like the Lions just don't have that. The closest they ever got to it was 91 when they got their asses whooped by the Washington Redskins in the NFC championship game. They have never sniffed the Super Bowl. So
never.
I don't know. Never. Wow. So I don't know if we could even apply it to the Lions in that way because they don't have a track record of saying, like, hey, at least we've been there before. No, we don't even have that. It's never happened here.
I got to hit you with the Andre 3000. Never, ever?
Never, ever. And it was weird because I was watching the post game. I was watching the post game of the Super Bowl last night, and they had this graphic up on the screen, and it said like the Chiefs had just hit up, like, they had finished out a 50-year drought, and they said the second longest drought. I'm like, how enough? Who was the second? No, who was the first? And they had the Eagles up there, and I'm like, wait, no, it ain't the Eagles. It's the Lions. The Lions ain't even been. At least the Eagles have been to the Super Bowl.
You can't be included in the drought if you never drank the water.
If you never been to
the But hey, man, hey, I'm gonna say this, and I know we gotta move on, but hey, I didn't know y'all never been there, and I'm gonna tell you right now, that's tough. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to scratch like my whole feelings on why y'all ain't been, and I'm gonna just blame it. You know what? Honestly, Will, you got a point, but I think Span's point is like super valid. The Ford family don't give two shits about whether or not if they go, because y'all, Detroit Lions fans, are still buying tickets, period.
And as a Lions fan, I ain't never been to a game. Never been to a game. Ain't been down there now once for a Lions game. Been in for a field for a graduation or two, but I ain't never been in that motherfucker for a football game.
So if they went to the playoffs, would you go?
If they went to the playoffs, no, they got to show me more than that. They've been to the playoffs before. They went to the playoffs and they got. I feel like they got cheated against the Cowboys with that pass interference call that got reversed. There was another time they went to the playoffs. I want to say around the time when Mark Schwartz was the coach, and they got their asses handed to him down in New Orleans. The Saints ran them off the field. Like, they didn't even punt the first three quarters of that game. So they've been to the playoffs. Getting to the playoffs, I think, is win a division. They ain't did that in a long ass time. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's gonna take much more than them just like eking into the playoffs. Like, it's been a couple years where they made the playoffs, where they just kind of like backed into it. Like, they got some early wins earlier in the season to kind of give them a cushion, and then they start relaxing, backed into the playoffs, and then they was assed out first game. So yeah, it's gonna take a little bit more than that, man. But Will, what you got for us tonight, homie?
Ah, shit. So I wanted to talk about the new draft picks coming into the league, because maybe, just maybe, we get a change in culture at some teams, like at Chicago, or maybe Detroit even. change in culture, like actually putting together like interior of a line, and maybe having a line, an offensive lineman. So your homies got a chance to throw the ball in time. So, I mean, because that's what I see with the Lions, be fucked up all the time. Stafford is sometimes he don't even got time to throw the ball. And next thing you know, he injured. Then they injured the backup. And now last year we was on the third string quarterback.
You know why I really think that Stafford sometimes never really has time to throw the ball? Because they know the Lions ain't running that bitch worth a damn. And so if you know that the Detroit Lions are going to pass the ball 80% of the time, your linebackers just can just pin their ears back and just rush the fucking quarterback, because they know it's about to be a pass play coming up. The Lions haven't had a decent running game since Barry Sanders. So yeah, I think that's part of it.
And you gotta have offensive linemen.
Yeah, you do.
They open that hole too.
Yeah, you do.
And so that's the problem. They don't got no. If you working out and you ain't got no, your fucking abs ain't shit, then you ain't gonna be able to do shit.
This nigga skipping leg day. Be big as hell up top and little than the motherfucker at the bottom. This nigga skipping leg day. I mean,
nigga tip drilling all day.
Hey, you just push that nigga and he fall over because.
Oh man, y'all dirty as hell.
Oh man.
So like I really feel like since Detroit got like the third draft pick this year, they got to go for somebody like Tristan Wyatt from Iowa. Like that big ass 6'6", 220 offensive lineman, or some. Then you got Jerry Jeudy coming out of Alabama, that he should go number one somewhere. And you also got Chase Young. So like these cats coming to the league, I mean, this is the time where all of these soft-ass teams right now in the league need to be sitting down and looking at who they need in the draft and how to put their team together. Like, that's why Baltimore was so good, because they sat down and said, we have Lamar Jackson, who's fast as fuck, who can throw the ball. Let's run an option-style offense. So this is the time you need to really look at retooling what the fuck you're doing.
I got a question.
Would you like to make one?
When does... I'm not really keen into the NFL draft picks and like the selections and stuff. When do they come out with? When does the draft actually happen to see who gets the first pick?
They pick the order through the record. They don't do like a lottery and shit like the NBA does.
Oh, okay. So okay. That's what I was asking.
The team with the worst record gets the first pick.
So does Detroit get the first pick?
No, Detroit gets the third pick.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati got first. Washington. The Redskins got two. Detroit got three. The Giants got four. Miami got five. L.A. Chargers got six. Carolina Panthers got seven. Arizona got Cards got the eight. Jacksonville got nine. And Cleveland got 10. Then it's the Jets. And then Las Vegas Raiders get the 13.
Ain't that something? The Las Vegas Raiders. Can you imagine what the halftime show going to be at them football games? You know what I'm saying? The same chicks are going to be at the crap table. They're going to be coming to the game.
It's going to be the singers from like the ones that get the residencies at the casinos, bro. So like Celine Dion going to come out there and do the halftime show, man. It's going to be a Celine Dion review.
Mariah Carey
gonna be out there, you know, halftime. Carey, baby. Yeah. You get the Mariah Carey show halftime at the Las Vegas Raiders games, bro.
It's gonna be like the damn Super Bowl at a regular season game.
If you're a comedian if you're a comedian in Las Vegas and you got a residency, man, you go out there and do your little 15-minute set. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, baby.
Quiet as kept. Hey. That's gonna be live as fuck.
Hey, Vegas, real quick. I got an idea. How about we go to Vegas and do a show live in Vegas?
Let's do this.
Okay.
I've never been to Vegas. I've never been.
I ain't been since I was 14, man. I got people out there.
Well, that don't count. I'm talking what you can go and turn up legally.
I went last year.
I don't know what you were doing. I don't know what you were doing when you was 14. So I'm not going to even, you know what I mean? I don't know. But I'm just saying, legally, you know.
The turn up was real then, too. You know what I'm saying, baby?
Why you got to do one show to all of them?
Turn up was real then, too. Baby, go to this pool party real quick.
Oh, that's funny as hell, man. Well, shit, man. What else y'all got, man? I'm dry. All I got is my wing.
Hold on, I think I did have something else. The Hall of Fame inductees, NFL Hall of Fame inductees, were announced.
Yes, nice.
So, interestingly enough, we was gonna talk about whether or not Eli Manning was worthy of going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, can I touch on that real quick?
Let me finish. Okay. We were gonna talk about that. Last week, and then the Kobe thing happened, and we didn't get a chance to really kind of like talk about that because that was one of the things. As a matter of fact, me and Walt was going back and forth on Twitter about whether or not Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame or not, and I'm gonna just say no. You know what I'm saying? But Cliff, you got something to say on that, so go ahead and do your thing because I got some thoughts on that too, and I'm sure Will may have some as well.
Eli. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, dude, you speak?
Yo, I feel just like Will. Let me just say a quick story. When I was at TSU, I used to bartend for the Marriott at Vanderbilt, and I used to be able to watch the Vanderbilt football games live from the Stadium Club. Fantastic view. And I saw Eli Manning played Jay Cutler live. All right. Jay Cutler ate his ass for dinner. I don't think Eli Manning had 100 yards total for the game in passing. And when it was draft time, they spoke so highly of this dude. I'm like, yo, Vanderbilt beat Ole Miss. Like, they ain't even that good.
I mean, it was Ole Miss, though, man. I mean,
Ole Miss be having squads, though. But I mean, only do? Reason why.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm fucking.
All I'm saying is,
I disagree. Oh, Miss, we having squads, man.
They be having these squads, right? Okay. So all I'm saying is, it seems like Eli Manning was like the brother that they just always gave the benefit of the doubt to. you know, oh, well, you know, that's, you know whose brother that is, you know, and that's Archie's son and everything, you know, you gotta, yeah, you know, he's, mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. And that burned me mm-hmm. up. You know, the black dudes don't get that type of, you know what I'm saying, benefit of the doubt. And hit his dude come in the league just because of his family ties, and they want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Yo!
Eli. Really? Do y'all remember he got drafted to Cleveland? He cried? No. And then his dad got, said, oh, we need him to move to New York. And they fucking moved him to the Giants? Do y'all remember that shit?
I remember it now.
Here's how that played out, right? Because he got drafted to San Diego. The Chargers are the ones who drafted him at the time. And but this before the draft, Archie Manning was telling teams he wanted his son in New York. He wanted him in New York. He was telling the Chargers not to even bother drafting Eli because I think the Chargers had the number one pick. He was telling them not to even bother drafting him. So I think they worked out some sort of trade deal with the Giants in order for the Giants to get him, and that they were just going to go ahead and grab him anyway so that they can make sure that the Giants could get him, because the Giants were like, all right, yeah, we want him, and that's what he want to be at, right? John Elway sort of did something like that too when he got drafted. Like, he was a team he didn't want to go to, and he kind of worked it out to where he ended up in Denver. But interestingly enough, Tua Tagovailoa, what's my man name from Alabama?
Yeah.
He's doing something similar right now. He's already telling T, like, I don't want to go to Detroit, man. He already telling them, like, hey, Detroit got the third pick. They might pick me, man. I don't want to go there. Like, y'all need to figure out what they're going to do, because I don't want to go there. Because his rationale is he thinks that Matt Patricia may be on his way out. If they draft him now, then he comes in to a system where, like, the coach coming behind Matt Patricia's like, I didn't want this guy, but I'm stuck with him. So now I got to figure out a way to make it work. That's why he's saying he don't want to come here. But
fuck you and his plastic hip.
But check this out, though. So check this out with Eli Manning, though, because the argument that Walt was making on Twitter was that, like, yo, he got two Super Bowls, man. And I was like, so what, though? I'm like, man, you look at, like, the fact that, yeah, he got the two Super Bowl wins, but then you look at the time of mediocrity in between that time, man. Like, when was the last time he did win that Super Bowl? And then how much has he been able to produce statistically? How much has he been able to produce on a win-loss level? The dude is a pretty average quarterback when you look at how many games he won, how many games he lost. If you told me a guy won 117 games and he lost 117 games, you wouldn't be telling me that dude is automatically a shoe-in to go into the fucking Hall of Fame. And so, yeah, you don't take away his Super Bowl. I'm not even saying you take away the Super Bowls, but I'm saying that the fact that he got two Super Bowl rings doesn't automatically make him an inductee into the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Because that's almost like saying that Robert Horry is a definite Hall of Famer because Robert Horry got seven NBA championships. Like, nah.
It is.
I mean, it's kind of like, how often have y'all said, oh shit, Eli got the ball in his hand, he's going to make something happen?
Exactly.
Not never.
Yeah.
Not never.
Just to piggyback off of you, Span. You're right. Eli Manning was not the top five quarterback in the league with his tenure. What New York had, they had a defense, yo. They were like the 85 Bears. They had a defense. And when you have a supporting staff that backs you like that and the defense scores, that's what the Bears did in 2007 when they went to, you know, Super Bowl. They had a defense that scored touchdowns. And I don't care what team you have, you can have a suck quarterback. Matter of fact, the 85 Bears, just to talk about them, one of the best defensive ever.
Baltimore won a Super Bowl. Baltimore won a Super Bowl with, what's my man name? Trent Dilfer.
Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Trent Dilfer was the quarterback of that team.
Yeah.
Who?
Trent Dilfer. When they first Super Bowl, Trent Dilfer.
I was going to say Flacco. No. So my thing is, because the quarterback, and this is my point to what you just said, Span, because the quarterback is looked at as the leader of the team, if the team wins, it's because of him. And I hate to say that idea floats the NFL really hard. Only because he is the leader of the team. Now, in situations where you have a team where the defense is like the main source of everything, we got to take that away from Eli Manning. Politically, he's embedded into the system, and he's going to always be looked at as the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Michael Strahan was on the New York Giants when all that was going on. They had a fantastic defense, and I'm not going to take anything away from the New York Giants. We're specifically talking about Eli Manning, and I totally agree with you. If you pull up his stats, he looks like – Trubisky, period. But with an awesome backbone that was really hard to run through.
So, who's that running back that year?
Tiki Barber. The dude who's on the ballhead. Ballhead.
Tiki?
Tiki Barber. I'm thinking they had two. Matter of fact, they had a fullback who was a monster too. But the thing is, we're just talking about the quarterback and how it relates to. Guess what? He's gonna go to the Hall of Fame. Do you? If you are a quarterback and you have two Super Bowl championships back to back, yes, shoe in. And you're Eli Madden, shoe in. You're Peyton's brother, shoe in. You're Archie's son, shoe in. That's all you got to say, man. You a shoe in.
Don't deserve it.
He don't deserve it. He don't deserve it in our eyes, but in the eyes of the people who gonna make that decision, that man is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Period.
I don't know about first ballot. He may go. I don't know about
first ballot.
I don't know if he's gonna make it first ballot. It's way too many motherfuckers that didn't make it first ballot. Way better than fucking Eli Manning, bro. He'll probably
they ain't got the family ties, bro.
He'll probably
they ain't got the family ties.
He'll probably end up in the Hall of Fame, but I think that I don't think he'll be first ballot, bro. He might be second or third ballot or some shit like that. He gonna wait. They gonna make him wait on it.
he might got the Electoral College, but he don't get the popular vote. From
he gonna wait on it, man. They gonna wait because I don't even know if he's eligible for like another 5 years or so. It may be another 10 before, like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
It may be 10 years from now where we're talking about they done inducted Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame and we still gonna be rolling our fucking eyes like really, nigga. For real. But so here were the inductees that were put into the Hall of Fame this year. Troy Polamalu from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Edgerrin James from the Indianapolis Colts. Denver Broncos safety Steve Atwater. Los Angeles St. Louis Rams wide receiver Isaac Bruce. And Seattle Seahawks and Minnesota Vikings offensive guard Steve Hutchinson. The five players elected Saturday will be part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame Centennial Class, which includes 10 senior players, 3 contributors, and 2 coaches. The Blue Ribbon panel chose wide receivers Harold Carmichael and Max Speedy, offensive tackles Jim Covert, Winston Hill, and Duke Slater, defensive end Ed Sprinkle, defensive tackle Alex Karras, who some of y'all might remember as Webster's daddy on Webster. Because that's what I remember him from. I don't remember him from no fucking football, bro. Let's see.
Damn.
Who was that? Mr. Papadopoulos. Wasn't his name Papadopoulos or something like that? Let's see. Safeties, Cliff Harris.
Yo, they talked about Mr. Papadopoulos on Family Guy so bad.
Safeties, Cliff Harris, Donnie Shell, and Bobby Dillon. Head coaches Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson. NFL Films President Steve Sabo. NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. And NFL General Manager George Young as part of the 20-person class. All 20 members of the 2020 class will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on August 8th in Canton as part of the Centennial Celebration. So, yeah, that's who's going. I'm actually surprised that Bill Cowher stayed away from coaching as long as he did. I really did anticipate like that dude getting back into coaching, finding another place to go out after he left Pittsburgh. But he stayed in the broadcast booth. I don't see him coming back now. Like, for what? Like, for what? I'm in the Hall of Fame now, baby. What am I doing out here? For real. So, y'all got any thoughts on some of those guys?
I got a question for y'all. I got a question for y'all.
What you got?
Do you think Tua's going to be like everybody want Tua and he's having like an old person surgery on his hip? I mean,
who?
Like, Tua got the hip injury. That his hip got broke, so and then he's recovering right now. That put him out in Alabama. So I mean, him coming to the league, I want to draft him high. He got to recover. So I'm just like,
I don't really know. Like when it comes to like a lot of these guys that come out of college and they're dealing with injuries that require surgery and whatnot, I think you got to do like your risk analysis when it comes to whether or not you should take that dude and put in that sort of investment in some of these guys. Like,
right.
And I know and it depends on the sport too. Cause like, I think about somebody like, say for instance, Baron Davis, who had knee surgeries while he was in college and he came into the NBA and he balled the fuck out, was, you know, all, you know, Like, he was all, you know, he was that guy. And, like, I know football and basketball are two different kinds of sports. And, you know, it may affect Tua severely. It may affect him much more severely than, like, say, a knee injury would for Baron Davis. But honestly, like, depends on what team he goes to. Whether or not, if he goes to a team, well, he's going to go to a bad team regardless. So I was going to say, he's going to have to go to a team that's going to really invest in their offensive line and, like, you know, even a fullback and some defense and a running back who can block and not just be out here trying to catch balls. He's going to have to go out there and block too, to, like, kind of keep him on his, you know, on his feet. Cause honestly, bro, like, I don't know how severe, like, whether or not he can recover from it and how effective he will be at the next level with it. I don't know. I really don't. So I'm just kind of like spitballing while I'm talking shit.
Yeah, that plastic hip ain't gonna last, dog. If you go to Detroit, that it's not gonna last.
Well, he done already put the word out, nigga. I ain't trying to go there. So. And I ain't mad, man. Hell, he hearing from motherfuckers like Tequila Spikes, Calvin Johnson, fucking Barry Sanders, Richard Sherman. Everybody tell him, hey, nigga, that ain't where you want to go. So, yeah, man. It's almost time for us to get on up out of here, but y'all know before we do, we get up out of here like this. Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Get it right. Get it tight.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes this iPad be doing whatever the fuck it wants to do, but we're going to do this again.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right. Time for our wing. Will, what you winging it on tonight, man?
You kind of put me on a rant in my head because, you know, I'm a Detroit fan. And I'm so angry. After this podcast, I am even more angry about the state of Detroit. And I'm like, dog, what can we do to fix this shit? Oh, that's right. Nothing, because I can't make no decisions for that organization. God damn it. I'm going to sleep after this shit. I'm done.
Yo, that's about one of the best wings we've ever had.
He ain't lied, though, bro. He didn't lie. Yo, that. He didn't lie. Like, not at all. Like, he didn't lie.
Yo, Will, bro, I'm saluting. That was fantastic. That was so real. Hey, Spam, man, we can't see you, but I can hear you, though. I'm just letting you know.
All right. Go ahead and do your thing, though, bro. Like, go ahead.
Oh, man. You know, since last week the whole Kobe thing happened, I'm gonna make mine like a kind of two-part wing, like a two-piece wing with a biscuit. Just want to send my condolences again to the whole Bryant family. And hold on, if Span went away, that means that it's not recording. You back, bro?
I got you.
Okay. No, just want to send my condolences again to the Bryant family and everybody who passed on that plane. I know originally they said it was 5 people, end up being 9 people. And I know for a fact people are still feeling that. People still talking about it. So, you know, it's going to be something that's going to continue to be talked about in a lot of conversations. And my second part is since we didn't get to talk about Eli Madden, I just want to give my true feelings about how I feel about how bad he sucked and why he don't deserve what he's unfortunately going to receive in some time in the future. And that's a Hall of Fame, you know, yellow jacket. Never was an Eli fan. Shout out to Peyton Manning. I feel like he deserved it a little bit more than Eli, even though he still had that political, you know, upbringing and support behind him and everything, but it's all good. So at the end of the day, you know, Eli Manning, garbage, bro. Garbage. That's my way.
All right. So my wing tonight going to be relatively short, man. Super Bowl was yesterday.
Oh, shit. I know this is.
Super Bowl was yesterday. And you think you know where I'm going, but you don't. Super Bowl was yesterday. And I seen a lot of talk up and down my timeline about the Super Bowl yesterday. Seen a lot of talk about the Super Bowl on my timeline yesterday. Motherfuckers that wasn't supposed to be watching the Super Bowl yesterday. Whole lot of you motherfuckers out here bitching about a halftime show y'all wasn't even supposed to be watching. Now, I'm going to tell y'all this. I know y'all was on some bullshit when it came to some of these boycotts. I know. And I know some of y'all just said, man, fuck it. You know, it's a communal thing, man. Everybody's doing it. I Colin probably won't come back to the league. You know, fuck it, right? But even Colin Kaepernick was watching the Super Bowl. How he know motherfucking Beyonce and Jay-Z wasn't standing up for the national anthem and being mad about it? Unless, of course, his ass ain't boycotting either. So I'm just saying, some of y'all full of shit, man. That's all I'm saying. Some of y'all full of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay, baby. We ain't mad. I mean, you know, we ain't mad. I ain't mad at you. Watch the fucking games, bro. Watch the fucking games. That's all I got for you. That's all I'm winging it on. Some of y'all niggas out here mad. When y'all really ain't had no business being mad. Like, real talk. Like, you mad at some shit that you ain't even supposed to be watching. Like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? That's my wing, man. And you know what the funny thing is? I didn't even tell people how to get in touch with us, but
I was just gonna say that.
But because we was like kind of helter skelter when we first got on, like this whole show has pretty much been helter skelter. We didn't plan none of this shit. We winged this. This whole show might as well have been a fucking wing because we winged the whole shit. I ain't planned none of this. I ain't got nothing written up for the show notes or nothing, baby. But we made it happen tonight. You know what I'm saying? Made it happen tonight. Professional podcasting, niggas. No, but before we get out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them here on the show. Respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Leave those emails for us. And as a matter of fact, shit, we did have an email. We did have an email. We're going to get it to – I swear. I promise. We're going to get to you next week, bro. I swear to God we're going to get to you next week. Hit us up with the emails or feedback@thespareandreport.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span, the homeboy Cliff. You can find him on the Instagram streets because his ass damn sure ain't on Twitter. Hit him up on super Instagram facts, where?
Super facts. I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on Twitter. I'm on the gram. DJ Neff Music, DJ Neff, N-E-F-F Music.
And how can they get in touch with you, Will? Because we gonna, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna have Will send me that shit so we can put that in the show notes too.
All right, Will Neezy 81, WILNIZEY81. On the gram, baby.
All right. So these some gram whores right here. Now no, but also hit us
up.
Hit us up on the on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio with those 5-star reviews. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes to get time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here. And hit us up on the website, www.thespareandreport.com. You can go there. You can right now. It's some shit going on with Crowdcast and WordPress where like the videos are not being embedded into the website. So we can't really watch the stuff on the website right now. I'm trying to get that shit fixed. But you can listen to the show from the website. You can donate to the show from the website. You can buy merchandise from our store from the website. You can leave comments on our website for the show that we can read right here on the show while we're doing it. There's a whole lot of different ways you can get at us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talking. We about to get on up out of here. The homeboy Cliff, like he ready to spin. We're going to let him do his thing. And then we'll talk to you guys again next week. But until next time, fam, peace.
Yo, want to shout out to Will, bro. Appreciate you coming back. You know what I'm saying? I know last week we had a little unauthorized, unorthodox show, man. Yeah, man, appreciate you coming back, though. And this song for you, you already know what it is.
Super fly for the low. You already know. Hurry up and let me go. Hurry up and let me go. 100% with the flow. I'm ready to blow. Hurry up and let me go. Hurry up and let me go. They killing niggas coast to coast. Policing they folks. But I'm God body, baby. Destroy my body, only freeing myself. Open mind, open doors. The road that we chose. Fewer people choose to follow, and even fewer get to see where it goes. Bitch, my city wild, a Manchester child. Fifth Ave, I know where to go. Pull up to rallies, man. On my daddy, fan from the concrete sprouted a row.
To the flow though, you already know though. It's out on view for real. You see your hoe, just take it. I'm reppin' as on photo with a fofo on your bro. I'm the eager robber, player for some dodo. I'm also Allen Temple, also Mickey Mantle, also Misty Valley, and I got a couple pounds.
yesterday out of Cali. And my bad bitch from the valley bought me brand new balance. And I'm playing with a no American dream. Dusted road, man. She been ride clean since her daddy rode on four. I done fucked up in every hole, telling every hole. I ain't fucked up with my wife, but if she meet her, might be a go.
Bitch, don't I look classy? Bitch, don't I look classy? Bitch, don't act so sassy.
And we're out. Talk to y'all next week. Peace.